Tonight, it is my pleasure to introduce to, for the first time, to the Many Rivers stage, Gail Johnson, Claire McLaughlin, and Crystal McLeod, who will be talking about Introduction to Diamond Logos Teachings. I could repeat stuff from their introductory material, but I think they can probably speak for themselves far better than I can do in their place, and so I'm going to hand the floor over to our three speakers tonight. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for showing up, filling the space. I think we'll begin with a meditation, a 10-minute meditation. Yeah. Invite you to get yourself comfortable. Just allow the busy mind to settle. Being present, not drifting off in the meditation. So, welcome. Everyone, I think I'm going to stand up here so I can see all of you. again, I want to introduce Gail Johnson, Crystal McLeod, and I'm Claire McLaughlin, and we're so happy to be here tonight to share with you an introductory evening on the Diamond Logos. And we thought that it might be really good if we could hear all of your names, and maybe if you, other than a name, if you want to say just one thing about what brought you here tonight, if that's possible. Do you mind if we start with you, and just if you want to say your name and anything that you want to say about the Diamond Logo, just a sentence, or what you're here for?
My name is Shelley.
My name is Andrew, and I guess Ewan.
I'm Suzanne, and I'm visiting here in Occident.
You're visiting?
Visiting here in Occidental. I live in Germany.
Oh, welcome.
I'm Willard. I'm acquainted with Gail, and she has introduced me to Diamond Logos in brief before. I'm curious to continue.
My name is Ron, and I'm somewhat familiar with the Diamond approach across all means. And I'm curious to find out the difference between that and this approach.
My name is John, and I'm a little familiar too with the Diamond approach, and my sense is that this work is a little more heart oriented. It's not a fixed.
My name is Kasumi. I don't know anything about this.
My name is Dave, and I worked with Gail for a couple of years and the partner Raj. I just want to keep on learning more about that diamond.
My name is Camilla, and I met Gail today. And she told me that she doesn't talk very frequently, but she was going to tonight, and I was running all over town trying to find her.
I'm
Stuart. Samuel, and I know a little bit of all this work.
I'm Arlene. And I've heard of the Diamond Approach, but I don't know details about it. I would like to know more.
I'm Dee, and I've been studying the Diamond Logos Approach for 2 or 3 years. With Gail and Crystal.
Uh-huh. I'm Michelle, and I'm just here because someone invited me.
I'm Bridget, I'm the guest. I'm curious about this approach.
And Michael, and I was invited as well.
My name is Crystal, and I really don't know what the Diamond Approach is. And I thought I'd just come and check out and see what many of the things are doing with and things like that.
I'm Corey, and I am very enthusiastic people. So I'm glad to see it nearby.
I'm Jim.
I'm Chris Lee, and Claire's been a teacher to me for over 25 years, so I want to see what else she's been doing.
Martha, and I know Gail, and I'm interested in what this is from her. I'm curious.
I'm Danny, and a blend of intuitiveness from reading tonight's program, curiosity and resemblance to the Diamond Sutra.
I'm Mary, and I'm here because Thursday Nights at Many Rivers has interesting people talking about interesting things, and I appreciate you being here.
I'm Patricia, and I'd have to say the same thing as Mary, as well as I came last Thursday for the first time to Many Rivers, and would like to keep coming. But also, I read maybe a year or two ago the Diamond Approach by Amos. Because a very dear friend who got a group of us started in the Enneagram years ago, and then she kind of leads, she's in her 70s, she leads the way, and she said, this is wonderful. And so when I heard you were going to be here, I was excited to find out more, even though, because they're connected.
I'm Mimi, and I just really love being at Many Rivers, and I'm grateful you're here tonight.
I'm Jessica, and I'm here because a friend has been studying.
Barbara, who's generally interested in your approaches.
Great, thank you. Maybe that cell phone is just a reminder if we have our cell phones on, to turn them off for a little while.
It's okay, it happens.
Do you want to say anything about that?
I'll just do... just going to do an overview of what we're going to try and touch on tonight, the basic framework of the Diamond Logos. There is a distinction, I guess we're going to have to do this. Amos and Faisal and Karen Johnson created the work together, the three of them, and then there was a separation, and so we're in the Diamond Logos, not in Diamond Heart. Okay, that's just brief difference.
Similar foundation.
Similar beginnings, but then there was some, you know, different threads that were woven into the two approaches. So we'll talk about the basic framework, and then we're going to do our three personal views of what brought us to the work, and then facts about we're in the process of starting up a training in February in Tiburon, so we'll talk about that. And then there'll be a question and answer period. So it's kind of an overview of tonight.
Okay. Well, then I'm going
to start with just giving an overview. Start with a couple of quotes. The Diamond Logos is a specific process of reclaiming the totality of who we are. Through the Diamond Logos journey, we learn to recognize, develop, and embody the many facets of the fullness of our nature. This also means we must meet up with the psychological blocks that led to this loss of our wholeness. So, the Diamond Logos is an exquisite map, I have found, to the qualities and attributes of what we call in the Diamond Logos our essential nature, and I'm going to describe a little bit about that as we go along. And it's equally as well an elegant and precise map of the blockages that arise when the qualities and attributes of our nature are missing or got lost along the way, mostly because of the way, you know, we were raised in our family of origin, or, you know, different circumstances that happened in our life. So, as Gail said, Faisal Mukadam and A.H. Al-Nasser Hamid and Karen Johnson were the original developers of this work. And then Faisal, in his own stream, created the Diamond Logos. And it's been something that we've been a part of for the last, well, for some of you,
14 years.
And so, anyway, I'm going to try to describe to you kind of the Diamond Logos view in as simple a way as possible. And I guess, first of all, it's like we live in this incredible evolving universe. It's something that scientists have tried to quantify, and we can't even get to really quantifying what this is, and our imagination can conjure up all kinds of creative ways of experiencing this universe. And the Diamond Logos, in its own way, is, you know, kind of looking at the universe from kind of a psychological, spiritual approach. And I'm going to try and talk about it, even though we can't really all the way divide things up around who we are as human beings and what this universe is about, to kind of describe it in a simple way. I'm going to talk about it in a view of three domains, or three ways, three parts of our own self. So the first part is our worldly self. It's the part that probably most of us were raised up in, the ego structure, the personality, how do we live in this world, how do we function in this world, and so much of you know, we've learned is in, you know, how do we live, and science and math and psychology and all of these different paths have been a lot about, you know, how do we address this personality and how do we live in this world and function in this world. So that's one domain. And then there is what in the Diamond Logos we call the essential domain. And the essential domain is kind of what I would say is the intermediary realm. And of course, we can't really divide things up, but this is sometimes called the realm of the soul. It's the individuated self. And it's the self that's made up of qualities of what we call essence, or so maybe some examples would be qualities such as groundedness, beauty, joy, love, lots of capacities that we have an opportunity to develop, but in ways there haven't, at least what I have found, because I was raised, you know, with my little personal family, and then kind of with a spiritual outlook, and kind of learned to open to what the third domain would be called in the Diamond Logos, is more like the source of all that there is, sometimes called God. So many names for this domain: Yahweh, Allah, the ground of being, etc. And so I'm going to kind of be talking to you from these three different domains. The Diamond Logos kind of focusing more on the middle domain, the bridge between our personality and the source. So
in this intermediary realm, this is where we get to really work with integration. If we just focus on our ego structure and our personality and functioning in the world, and maybe that would mean we have to, you know, have a place to live and have food to eat and make sure we have a car to get to work and have our relationships working, and so maybe we go to therapy to learn how to, you know, be more functional in our relationships and that kind of thing. And we find that, you know, having a bigger house and a better job and all of that, you know, maybe that's good on some level, but sometimes it doesn't address the deeper levels of that there's something missing. So in the essential realm, this is where the Diamond Logos addresses this place where there's these opportunities for the development of qualities of our true nature or our more whole self. And so a lot of the Diamond Logos is focused on this. And as we develop these qualities, we also have an opportunity to meet what's in the way of the qualities that perhaps got lost along the way. So maybe, you know, I might have a really good sense of how to live in joy because I grew up in a happy family, but maybe I didn't learn how to be landed here and walk my path in this, you know, day-to-day life. So in that case, I would have an opportunity to look at, well, where there maybe there's a block there that I would have to address of something that got lost before I can call in that quality. Or because all of these qualities are part of who we are, they just, you know, to varying degrees, and each of us are different, and that's what's beautiful about this essential realm, is that there is this source of kind of a field of all that there is. This in Buddhism, it's called the empty radiant field of all possibilities. It's called the Tao, etc. But out of that, look, there's all these exquisite different people, beings, souls here in this room with very particular ways of living and being, and we also come with very particular ways that we're cut off from qualities that we've lost. So the Diamond Logos work has been such a gift for me, and it's such a great opportunity to kind of find those lost, disconnected places, find out what's at the root of them, and then, and kind of, it's almost like filling in what in the Diamond Logos we call holes, which is where there's kind of the loss of this creative, alive nature. So I kind of look at it like we're each like a star in the universe, or a point of light is what we call it in Diamond Logos, where, you know, we can't just go, okay, it's all this field, and we can't just go, okay, we're just these egos just going around, just living our basic life. There's something, some opportunity that we have to develop into what we really are, and somehow we find ourselves as very specific qualities of beauty, and with very specific opportunities to discover what that is. So that's a lot of what this Diamond Logos is about. So this, in talking about the holes and kind of, you know, the missing places in our structure, there's a Nas Rudin story where he's lost his key and he's looking for it under a street lamp. And a friend of his comes along and is going, "Well, what happened?" And he said, "Oh, I lost my key." And he's going, "Oh, yeah, okay, well, I'll help you find it." And they're looking together, and they look for a long time under this street lamp, and they don't find it. And his friend finally says, "Well, Nas Rudin, are you sure you lost it here?" And Nas Rudin says, "Well, no, I actually dropped it over there, but it's dark over there, so I thought I'd come here and look." And in a way, that's kind of what the ego part of ourselves is doing, is we're always kind of looking in the familiar place that we know, in the lighted up area that we know about. And, you know, so in ways a lot of this work is, you know, being willing to go to those unknown places and view from there. Which sometimes it can be uncomfortable, and you're in the dark and in the unknown. But that's how we evolve, is by that willingness to kind of stretch outside of our known little box. So another quote: "The Diamond Logos is about dissolving the veils and obscurations to experiencing the truth of existence. It requires diligence, commitment, and courage." And really, when we find that integration of, because we need all of this, we are all of these aspects, all of these domains. We are the empty, open source on some level. We are all a part of that. We birth out of that and we dissolve into it. So we are that, and that's an important piece of who we are. And then we have this opportunity to develop these qualities, and it's exquisite to discover that we're so much more than we are. And then we also are this personality that has to deal with the world. So a lot of it is finding that our true nature is all of that. And as we find that integration, actually life gets pretty simple and basic, and our relationships become easier, and we find that life works much better. So that's kind of the three domains. And since we were kind of focusing on the three domains, we were, Gail and Crystal and I were kind of talking about, well, what brought us into this work? And we realized that we had three different kind of perspectives of how we came here and what we came here for. And in thinking about the origins of this work, Faisal Hamid and Karen Johnson also came from three different perspectives. One of them is, and that's something that you learn inside of the Diamond Logos work, is that there are various different personality types, and we all come from different perspectives. And some of us are more mental types, some are more heart-oriented, more heart-focused, and some more body-focused. And, you know, as we were talking about it, we realized that the three of us kind of come from that. Crystal is more of a mental type, Gail more heart-oriented, and I'm more of a body perspective. And so we thought we would share our experience of this work from those views. So Crystal is going to start.
Okay. So as
Claire said, I am a more mental type, and so I started looking at, well, why did I come to this particular work? And the first thing that came up for me was, why did I come start coming to spiritual work at all? You know, and for me that was a lot because I saw that I had a lot of fear in my life, that fear was running my life a lot more than I wanted it to run. You know, I was afraid of the unknown, I was afraid of people, I was afraid of intimacy, and it just, I could see it was really out of proportion. And the other thing that was there was a real feeling of a longing for something. I think a lot of people come to religion or spirituality because there's some kind of longing in there. And at first I didn't know what that longing was for. And as I've worked, I've come to see it's really a longing for connection. You know, longing for connection with myself, with my real deepest truth, my real deepest self, and also a longing for connection with other people, to be able to really meet people without fear and without a lot of conditioning getting in the way, and then also a connection with something bigger. You know, we are a product of an amazing universe, and, you know, I want to feel that. You know, I want that to be a reality for me. So that was really why I started spiritual work. And then this particular work, which I have been a part of for a long time, has really supported me because it's, for me, being a mental type, it's very precise. There's a real science here. You know, just if you want to study biology or physics, you know, it's very precise. Well, this is a work that is a real science of the inner world. So you can go beyond, oh, I have this feeling, or oh, I have this thought, and, you know, a lot of it was sort of, spirituality was kind of nebulous for me at first, and it was like, how do I get a grip on this? And I have found with this work that because of the precision, it's made it possible for me to not only have experiences of different dimensions of consciousness, but to actually be able to learn how to access those things in myself. Because we all, as human beings, we have this incredible potential to experience more than just ordinary life. But most of us, either we don't get around to it. Nobody taught us how, or we're too busy, or, you know, whatever it is. So that's the part that really appealed to me initially, is that it's really a science. And we look at it as, you know, that there are essential energies that come from source, as the word. And these essential energies we can also manufacture in our own bodies. You know, they're there. We have, you know, and this work has very precisely mapped, you know, what parts of the body these different energies are created in and come from. And also we've mapped, you know, what they feel like. Like, for a lot of us, like, you know, we've all known the feeling of compassion. You know, and we say, oh, I'm feeling compassion. So we identify that in our heart. But in this work, we really look at it like, that's an energy. You know, that's an energy that when it hits the heart, we feel compassion. But that same energy is also the energy of healing. You know, in the body, not just in the heart, but in the body. This is the energy that really comes in and can heal. So it's a very multidimensional thing. It's not just a feeling or a thought. It's, you know, these energies affect the whole body. It's a very precise science of how that does that. So then the question becomes, well, you know, how come I don't just live with compassion oozing out of me, or joy, or, you know, all this stuff, you know, what we know is possible, and we feel, you know, the limitations of our conditioning and our reactivity and our ego and all that getting in the way. So that's also a big part of this work, is like, okay, here's this quality, here's this energy. And you come to the training and you sit in front of a teacher and they can really transmit this energy. So you get a taste of it and you start to see, oh, okay, that's what this feels like. You know, not just as a feeling, but as a total experience, right? And then you leave, and it's like, well, how come I can't maintain this? You know, how come I know I should be feeling compassion for this person, but somehow I'm feeling indifference. It's not hitting me. Well, so there's, what we've seen as part of this map is that there's every one of these qualities has very precise issues connected with it. Places in our ego structure that are constricted so that the energy just doesn't move the way it should, or sometimes it just leaks out all over, we can't contain it. So within this work, we also, it's called a psycho-spiritual work, because we do use some of the teachings of psychology, some of the discoveries that have been made in the last 70, 80 years, to work with the ego. But this work really goes beyond that, because one of the ideas that I've really come to appreciate is that we don't hold the ego as something that's bad. We don't hold the ego as something, a lot of spiritual traditions say, oh, you have to drop the ego, you have to drop the mind. Well, if anybody's ever tried to do that, try dropping your ego. You know, it's not possible. You know, and we really approach it that the ego is something that gets transformed. You know, even the parts of us that we feel the worst about, that, you know, that we don't want to look at, that is hard to see, all of those parts have their right place in us. All of those parts need to get included. And through the process of really working with these qualities and working with our issues, they start to come into balance. They start to move in a way that, you know, they should. So the ego doesn't get dropped. It doesn't get fixed. It gets transformed. And even, you know, like one part of us that I think we're all really kind of familiar is that critical voice within ourselves that's judging us and judging other people. And, you know, we can see that that's, for a lot of us, a real restriction. You know, it restricts us in our relationships. But that place, you know, that part of us has a place. It's trying to protect us. And once we start to see that and work with it, then we can hold it in a different way, and our judgments don't start interfering with our relationships, and our judgments don't hold us back from, you know, doing new things and going new places and trying new things. So this whole mapping of, this very precise mapping of different psychological issues along with these different qualities has been very, very helpful for me. Because what that does is, as you expand, as you work through things, what you find is that instead of reacting to life, which we all do and find, you know, why am I reacting, what we start to be able to do is really respond. To just be able to respond from a spontaneous place, and whatever energy is needed to come up in this particular circumstance will just arise of its own accord, because there's no blockages there. The blockages get fixed and transformed. And, you know, maybe to give an example that might be helpful, one of the issues that I've had to struggle with over time has been anger. You know, we all have anger at a certain point. And so one of the things I've come to see is, of course, I have to work with my anger, and where did it come from, and why am I reacting, and, you know, that's part of it. But also what I've come to see is behind that anger is an energy that has a way of moving. It's just moving in the wrong way. And so, like, in this case, like, the anger that's behind energy is really strength and courage and vitality. You know, it's just kind of misdirected. And so knowing that, it's like that's been a big one for me to really see. You know, I said earlier, it's like one of my big issues was fear when I came. So now I know, okay, fear is telling me something. Fear has become my friend rather than a block. My fear comes up, it's like, oh, okay, here you are. Thank you. What is it you're trying to tell me? But then I don't have to stop there. I don't have to get restricted. You know, because I can bring up my strength and my courage and my vitality and move ahead and initiate. So that same energy that was coming out in a distorted way as anger, now it's in service. It's in service to my life. You know, it's been a huge, tremendous expansion. And that's just kind of a simple example. So there's... you know, a big part of this work is this map of essence and the qualities. And also what we do is, just like if you were going to study any kind of science, you need some basic tools. First, you need to know how to read so you can study. And maybe if you're studying science, you need to learn how to use a microscope. Well, in the same way, there are some basic tools that we teach that make it so you can become your own scientist, so that you come and you get the teachings, but then you know how to use these teachings and how to do exploration on your own when you're away. So we have tools for, you know, really helping people to learn how to be present, to learn how to how to be in life and really track what's going on in you. Because for most of us, you know, when we're out living our life, we're not really in touch with what's going on with us. You know, our attention is like out here most of the time. So how do you get it so that you can be out here and tracking what's going on with yourself at the same time? You know, just be aware. It's this kind of your arrows of attention. One goes in and one goes out. So we have some real teaching in how to track what's going on in your body, how to see your emotions, how to, you know, separate a little bit from your ideas, your judgments, to just create a little separation and openness and presence so that you can start to discriminate for yourself what's happening. And then once you can develop this presence, once you develop sort of a witnessing capacity, and then you start to see, oh, okay, when I'm in this situation, I always react like this. Why? I'd like to shift this. You know, so then we bring in some tools about inquiry. How do you follow that? It's like, okay, I see, you know, in this kind of situation, I'm always responding in the same way, and it's not working. So what's happening here? You know, and we start to explore a little bit. You know, part of it is the psychological part. Where did that come from? You know, part of it is, you know, what's possible. It's not only seeing the psychology of it, but it's learning to sense the energy. You know, learning to sense, you know, where is my energy moving and where is my energy not moving? And how is my energy dancing with your energy? You know, can we have this dance together in a really open, spontaneous, alive way? So that's a big part of it too, especially at first, is learning how to, you know, how to work with this. You get the ideas, you get the transmission of the energy, and then, you know, you want to take it home and work it with yourself. And that's what I found. You know, initially I came to this work and I liked it because it was very precise science. And now that I've worked with it for years and years, now I look at it as an art form. You know, now it's the art form of just, you know, different energies that are moving in the universe and having my own potentials be free to come up and arise and manifest, because we're all incredible creatures and most of us never really get to feel how incredible we are and how much potential we all have for acting and for experiencing different dimensions of consciousness. And so as I have worked and gotten to this place where it's, you know, it's how do you take the energies that are in this room and just be able to dance with them to bring more truth and more beauty and more love and more goodness into life, into this field that we're all a part of. And for me, I really have found that this work has been an incredible support in helping me do that. It's helped me a lot in my own life, and it's also gotten to a point where, you know, I'm ready to, I am giving this back to other people. So, thank you.
what do I say after all that? That was profound, Crystal. Thank you. Well, I'm an emotional type, so I'm going to start from that place. I started by painting. That's how my journey started as an artist at the Art Institute painting. And these paintings would come up, and I didn't know what they were about. They were so intense and so textural, so linear, so much there that it was alive, and it was like, where did this come from? You know, it's like, I don't know what this is about, but they just poured out, you know, sometimes they didn't make much sense. They were kind of funk, like gallon apple bottle juice bottles, you know, all filled with different colors of pastels, really sweet, different text, you know, just like the peachy pink and the rosy red, and they were all shoved into a transparent frame, and it was like, I don't know what this is about, but I've got to paint this. So it was like this unknown, I was like, the stuff was channeling through. I don't know, I didn't call channeling. I didn't know what channeling meant. I just painted it. You know, that carried me through art school. I got out, got, you know, all that on my way. Then I had to go to work and earn money. I didn't have the nerve to take my resume and my slides and all of that, because I didn't know what I was doing. So I didn't go and apply for teaching jobs. I went into a factory situation and became a draftswoman and then a print circuit board designer. And I stayed there for about 8 years, and I got melanoma. I got cancer because I was shutting down. I mean, it was, and I knew that I needed to stop, so I just quit. Had my operation, and you know what? I got to find a new way. So I decided to take psychology. So I went back to school, took a psychology degree and art therapy, you know, together simultaneously, and I began to find out what those paintings were about. And I got a new identity. I was no longer an artist. I was no longer a draftsman, draftswoman. I was now a wounded healer. And I went into the prisons. I taught in the prisons. I taught in mental health for years, and elderly. And it touched my heart, and I felt good. I'm doing service. This feels good. But it wasn't enough, because it felt like my heart was really open for the other, but it wasn't opening up for me. And so that's how I kind of came to the work, like looking for intimacy with myself. And it's been a long journey. And one of the things that I learned in that whole process through making art and going to through psychology was, throw out names, I had a deficient identity. And I wasn't allowed to have my emotions when I was a child, so they were coming through me in my art. And doing the work, I began to realize this. It was okay for me to be emotional, as long as I wasn't acting out, but to feel my emotions. And it began to be this deepening experience that when I allowed whatever was current pain in my life for me, that if I stayed with it, it actually would dissolve, and it wouldn't be a big deal anymore. When that blockage got cleared, then I began to have insights, and it's like, oh, this is what needs. I began to adjust my life and make more intelligent decisions about where I want to place myself and with who and how. And so, for lack of a better word, this is called the diamond guidance, the diamond body. There's this inner knowing that begins to be present for you. And what came out of this was, and is, and it's evolving. It's just this really, I have a deep intimacy that, just, you know, I really I'm dearly in love with. And what can I say? Through that, I began to feel my spirit come back. I began to feel my presence come back. I'm here talking today. I mean, this is never in my life is something I even wanted to do. But it's like it's almost like it's filling up in me, and it's coming out of my mouth. You know, it's coming out of me. I can't sit on it any longer. So I want to share it. I guess that's it. Mm-hmm. I want to share it. I mean, Crystal did such an articulation of the process and the skills that are learned, and in those skills, there's just more aliveness happens for you. There's more truth. I mean, I'm willing to be with my truth, whether it's my judge would say, you can't be like that, you can't feel like that, you can't. Da, 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 da. But that's my truth right now, whatever that is. And the edge for me here is beginning to express my truth verbally. Before I could do it with my hands and color and line and shape and texture, but I couldn't talk about it. And so I'm feeling this integration starting to happen. That it feels great to be alive now, at the time that's happening right now. Thank you.
So incredible to hear Crystal's brilliant mind and Gail's incredible heart, and just aware of, you know, one of the gifts of this work is that slowly I'm recognizing that I have the opportunity to develop a wise, open mind and a generous heart, and even though they're not my strongest suits, you know, it's like that we get to have the whole. So I'm going to speak a little from the body perspective, and I guess I have to stand up because sometimes body-oriented people have a hard time sitting still and need to move and to be connected inwardly. And I guess, you know, why I came to the work was that, okay, I care about life and I have different capacities, but really my biggest passion is how do I land here? How do I walk my walk in this world? How do I generate and manifest and, really, really land as a human being here? And I think because I was raised in a very Catholic family where it was about giving it up to Jesus somewhere up there, or God up there, there was a split for me. And in that split, I also disconnected from my body and my capacity to really be here in this life. It's kind of dreamy and body types. I mean, with any of these particular types, it can be our greatest gift, but we have to also recognize that it's also our most challenged arena. So as a body person, I have the capacity to be very body-oriented, and I love to move and dance and be active and that kind of thing. But I can also kind of dream and hope and go to sleep and watch a lot of TV or
or whatever, distract myself, kind of disconnect. So for me, this work has been a gift in learning how to really land in a human body, in a human life. This is precious, being here. And so I think with the Diamond Logos, more than anything, it's given me so much. And both Gail and Crystal have said a lot of things that are so for me. But to really take all of the gifts of just all of these essences and just like develop them and somehow show up in life and just be in the flow of what's unfolding in this particular individuated being, separate, different from each of you, not separate, but different. We're all very specific, like aspects of the rainbow, and I have a very particular opportunity, and I'm never going to get it if I don't land here and embody. So a lot of it for me has been learning to embody, and in the diamond work we call that the pearl essence, where we really are here to engage, to be connected, to be relational, to bring all of that. It's like bringing that field that we are birth out of and dissolve into, bringing ourselves here out of that, bringing that here with us, landing it, engaging, and living a full life. So that's been a big piece for me. And because I've spent a lot of my life in spiritual pursuits and grew up in the Christ lineage, and never could quite relate to the whole, constricted view of Christianity. But a lot of what, especially the Diamond Logos, has brought to me is the gift of Christ consciousness and kind of the recognition of that somehow the teaching of what Christ is about the salvation of the ego, that this ego part of ourselves gets to be liberated, gets to show up here and be a part of this gift. And I just want to make sure I wrote something here. So just to recognize that our ego can develop capacities and become more essential. For me, that's so awesome to really just get that, and that somehow that's connected me with grace to somehow the gift of this work has allowed my ego to relax enough and surrender. And that's when grace occurs, as far as I am concerned, is when the ego finally just says, okay, I surrender. I am the servant to this great mystery, to this great source, and I also am the servant to this essential, individuated one that wants to come forth in a particular way. So for me, that's been really the gift of what this is. So, thank you.
So, let's see. Faisal's opening the work up, and in February we will be presenting trainings that will be every other month, starting with the basic foundation, which is really called the Lataif, and it embodying those essence, those subtle essences, and there'll be the white, which is more like steadfastness, and then we'll move into the red, which is your courage and your strength, and then we'll move into the black, which is around peace and power. And we'll move into the black, then we go to green. which is compassion. And then we'll finish off that piece with yellow, which is the joy of having that integration. It's about joy. And in that teaching, there'll be 3-day weekends. Faisal will present on the Friday evening, and then Saturday and Sunday will be all day long. And we're bringing something new to the work, which is, as you kind of get the flavor, we're all pretty creative. And we've been bored. 14 years of sitting in chairs for weeks and weekends is a lot of sitting. So we're going to start introducing movement into the work to embody it more, and some art processes to embody. And just so you get your own flavor in another dimension other than listening and talking. And then we do process of dyads, where you'll be given a question and you just sort of take that question, which will be relevant to that latif, and just let unfold, just yak. And someone will sit there and listen and not say anything. It's just wonderful. And then if you want feedback, you can get feedback, and then there's a reverse. So that sort of, what it does is kind of opens the gate. So that all that stuff that, you know, you've got layers and layers and layers in there of what you're feeling about specific issues in your life, and and just in the speaking, it seems to create more space, more clarity, and a weaving starts to happen and take place for you. That brings more understanding. So that's kind of, have I got an overview of what we're going to be doing and what this is all we're talking about?
Yeah, there'll be 5 weekends throughout the next year. The first one starts in February. And they'll cover these 5 different topics.
Yeah. And then we usually have a small group because you're having a weekend and that goes on for 3 days, and a tremendous amount of information comes in and experience, and it takes time to integrate that. So there's no requirement to do a small group, but that is what's recommended, that we do small group, so that you can bring up what's coming up in relationship to what you've experienced, what you've learned, any contradictions that may be taking place for you and internally that need to be held. So just to give you that container. So that's a piece of it.
So I guess there's like there'll be the transmissions of the qualities of essence throughout the weekend. So if it's the quality of, we call them by colors in this work, the quality of the white essence, which is about ground and fortitude and stability. So you'll get a lot of practice just feeling what that feels like in the body to really take that in and to feel what that is. Then there'll be a teaching on that quality. And then of course, a big part of it will be addressing the issues around that, and there's very specific issues that go with that quality, and you'll have an opportunity, as Gail was saying, in dyads or triads, to kind of address and inquire into, how you are impacted, or how your family of origin issues created a blockage for you or didn't create a blockage for you. So shall we open it to
questions?
Yeah. You have a question?
So if you identify the block, kind of get an idea of the origin of it, then in this work, what do you do with it?
So when you identify, so you have an understanding of the root of what the block is, well, that often will just open more space for that. And also another piece of it is not just identifying, because that's a big piece of it, but also it's practicing allowing in that quality of that energy into your field. So that's a big piece of it, is then allowing that hole that was filled with the block to be filled with that quality. So that's a lot of the practice. So that's where it's not psychological, it's just practice steeping in, like for example, the white essence, which is very stabilizing, it's relaxing, it's not about willfulness, it's about resting in your nature. Any other questions?
I do.
Okay.
I'm curious as to what type of movement you're intending to integrate into whatever you have going on. Is it like free form or exercises or dancing?
It really depends.
With the white, it'll be Qigong. So Qigong will be introduced that day for the grounding, the stability, and there's a Qigong teacher who will be teaching that. So the movement will be relevant to the quality. So that you have an embodiment of that, an experiential. The music will be relevant to the quality. The exercises will be relevant, and they will be different flavors each time, in a sense. So that you get that distinction, you get the know the difference between courage and stability. I mean, they're not exactly the same.
I'm thinking, is there a website that would answer the best that's in Tiburon and tell me how much it would cost and such?
You know, we're going to have there's a sign-up sheet up there that you can sign up and we'll email you information.
Okay.
And there also is...
I did bring some... sheets that do the details stuff. If you're interested in that, the dates and location. Well, the location will be mailed. I mean, there's directions to it. It will be mailed to people, and price and all that. So if you're
in local or down in Marin?
It'll be in Tiburon. Yeah, I will probably be doing a local one-on-ones
small group
here for people who are interested in that. Crystal and Claire live in the Bay Area.
You can also go to diamondlogos.com to kind of get the bigger picture.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yes?
So just so I can have an overview. So there's, within a year, there's 5 weekends, right?
Actually, 6 weekends.
6 weekends?
Yeah.
Okay, every 2 months. And then... is that when there's the transmission?
Yes.
And then you do all sorts of different things during the weekend. Is that also when there's going to be the integrated other types of things, the movement and the heart?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And processing on focusing on a certain...
Well, there'll be specific issues to that. Lataif. Lataif is a Sufi word that means subtle energies. So, in a sense... or softening the armor.
Basil will be introducing the Friday evenings. He will, have that evening. He will be giving a transmission of, like, the first weekend is the white essence. So he will be giving the first transmission. Then throughout that weekend, there will be other transmissions. There'll be activities that are about, that are connected with that quality, teachings and inquiry exercises.
And then, now the small groups, that's something that gets created independently of that, is that correct?
Yes.
And they might, depending on what, if people, there's an interest and...
Yes, depending on, and if there's a large group of people that comes, from Sonoma County, then there would be a number of us that would support small groups in this area that are encouraged along with the work.
Is there a particular framework for the small group?
Doing your personal inner process.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
Yeah, that's really the opportunity to, because there is 2 months between the large groups, you know, people have issues that come up, people have questions that come up, you know, how they're working with it. So it's really a chance to have some continuity with the teacher, and just to keep yourself going, you know, and deepen the whole process.
And how often is it to those?
Usually those meet every other week. It's, yeah.
And are you folks are you folks going to be teaching or leading groups, small groups?
We're going to be doing all of those. And also private sessions is a part of it. You know, the small group and the private sessions aren't required initially, but they really do support the work. Because, you know, to have some private time where it's just one-on-one with the teacher is really valuable. And also having small group where you get to see how other people are working with it and, you know, asking questions.
It's going to be an interesting year. I'm excited about it. Faisal is going to be holding the Friday evenings, but there's 8 of us teachers that are going to be rotating and presenting the remainders of the Saturday-Sunday portion of the weekend. So you're going to get, whoever comes to this will get a variety of teachers, but we're working as a team very closely, and so you'll get a lot of support and creativity, and I think it will be really good for those that are interested.
I think this is mostly for you, Claire. There's a line that I love, that art is only intimacy searching for itself.
No, that's really
I love what you were saying without intimacy, and that falling in love almost like it's a moment.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That really talks to the process, to what happened for me. Because I didn't know that it was love at that point. I think it was distorted emotions in the beginning. I knew so little. So thank you. That's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. So.
I'm just going to conclude here. Thank you so much first for this evening.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And as is our custom, I just want to point out 2 things in particular. Number one, we have a donation bowl over at the counter, and right next to it is the sign-up sheet that was referred to earlier for information about the Diamond Logos teachings, and I encourage you to take a look at that. There's also some number of Almas books over at this table here for you to take a look at on your way out. And thank you all for coming tonight. We very much appreciate it, and hope we'll see you again later in 2009. And Jim is pointing something out to me, but I'm not sure what. The Donna Bowl, I mentioned the Donna Bowl was over here. Donna being the Buddhist custom of generosity. So the donation Donna Bowl was right over there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
If anybody has any further questions, you can.